Hello friends, we now go into international trade. International trade as a whole is one of the biggest components of international finance and is one of the main reasons why we want to study international finance as a whole. The topics that would be covered is international trade as a whole, gains from international trade, what are the gains, and then different forms of international trade, then the type of management skills that you need for international business, and we also look at the Indian economic scenario and the impact of global trade. How it has impacted us. Basically, international trade is the exchange of capital, goods and services across international borders or territories. And this type of trade gives rise to a world economy in which prices or supply and demand affect and are also affected by various global events. Carrying on this kind of a trade at international level is really a very complex process as compared to our normal local trade or domestic trade. Why? Because trading takes place between two or more nations. And here we have various factors like currency. Each country has got their own individual currency. Then government policies. Yes, countries have different government policies. Economy of the country, judicial system, the laws, and above all, markets influence trade. It represents a significant share of GDP, that is gross domestic product of any country. Of course, international trade in various forms has existed throughout history since times immemorial. Right when we go from Vasco da Gama level to the spice trade to Europe, to the Silk Route of China. Its economic, social and political importance has been on the rise in only recent centuries, that is mostly after the World War period was over. Over the last couple of centuries, the world economy as a whole has experienced sustained positive economic growth as a result of international trade. When we look at changes in trade relative to GDP, GDP offers another interesting perspective. Today's global economic system, countries exchange not only final products, but also intermediate inputs like raw material and components and other services. This has created an intricate network of various types of economic interactions that actually covers the whole world. This type of trade transactions include one, goods, that is tangible products. They are physical material shipped across borders by road, rail, air, sea. And second is services, which are known as intangible commodities, like tourism, financial services, legal services, and similar other services. There are many trade services which make merchandise trade easier or cheaper. For example, the shipping services that you see, which is helping the service trade as a whole. Or take insurance, take the financial services, take the banking arrangements. Firms around the world, of course, import goods and services to use them as inputs to produce goods and services that are later exported. Imported goods and services incorporated in a country's exports are a key indicator of economic integration between the countries. International trade as a whole, if you look at it, it's not much different from domestic trade. As the basic motivation and the behavior of parties involved in trade do not change fundamentally, regardless of the fact that trade is across a border or not. The basic fundamentals are virtually the same. If you look at the practical terms, carrying out trade at an international level is much more complex process than the domestic trade. That is the basic underlying factor. Domestic trade is very simple, very easy, whereas international trade is very complex. Main difference is that international trade is more costly than domestic trade. And this is due to the fact that a border between two countries imposes additional costs in the form of tariffs, time costs due to border delays, and costs associated with country differences such as language, legal system, or cultural, non-tariff barriers, etc., and so on. It is mostly restricted to trade in goods and services. And of course, to a lesser extent, to capital, labor, or even other factors of production. Trade in goods and services can serve as a substitute for trade in factors of production. Instead of importing a factor of production, a country can import goods that makes intense use of that factor of production. And international trade allows us, of course, to expand our markets for both goods and services that may otherwise not have been available to us. As a result, the market as a whole has become more competitive, and therefore competitive prices, which may bring a cheaper product home to the consumer. Economists views the international trade having three principal differences. First, many non-economists believe that it is advantageous to trade with other members of one's nation or ethnic group. And economists see all forms of trade as equally advantageous. Secondly, many non-economists believe that exports are better than imports for the economy, whereas actual economics believe that all trade is good for the economy. Thirdly, many non-economists believe that a country's balance of trade is governed by the competitiveness of its wage rates, tariffs, etc. But economists believe that the balance of trade is governed by the above factors, but also by other factors like the national saving and investment in any country. Economic trade is analogous to a production technique. It is opening up to trade is actually equivalent to adopting a more efficient technology. It also enhances efficiency by allocating resources to increase the amount produced for a given level of effort. Classical liberals, they believe that free trade could bring about world peace by substituting commercial relationships amongst individuals for competitive relationships between the various states throughout the world. The conduct of international operations actually depend on the individual company's objectives and also the means with which they carry them out. Why? Because the operations actually affect and are also affected by the physical and societal factors and the competitive environment in various countries. There are various economic theories, but primarily the major theory is there is always gains from international trade. We have been seeing the economic advances of all the countries, and therefore all the theories say that there are gains. That is why it is increasing day by day. And one of the biggest theory is it enhances efficiency. Why? Because it's just like a new technology which adds to the productive capacity of all countries that are engaged in trade. The major efficiency is due to a comparative advantage. And some of the efficiency also comes from taking advantage of increasing returns due to increased production levels. Economic cost of producing a good is the value of everything you need to give up to produce that good. And that is where the comparative advantage actually works. When we look at the comparative advantage, it is the ability to produce something at a lower opportunity cost than their trade partners. That means it is only if you are able to produce something at a lower cost than your other trade partners, then only you will be able to supply those goods to the trade partners. It is precisely this that distinguishes the absolute advantage from comparative advantage. This also explains basically why you delegate tasks to someone else, even if you can do those tasks better and faster. That is, if you are good at doing many things, it means that investing time in one task has a higher opportunity cost. Because you are not doing the other things you could be doing with your time and resources. That means you should take care of your time and resources in trying to do things in which you are specialized, which you know you can do best, and which you know can give you a higher cost advantage. And then delegate the other jobs to others. And that is how you actually get a comparative advantage. Trade actually based on comparative advantage should tend to benefit small countries more than large countries. Because the smaller countries can get larger benefits. Larger countries already have those benefits. So smaller countries can benefit more. And this advantage, this benefits are proportional to differences between the relative prices between one country and the other country, especially in the world markets, against the prices that are prevalent in the home market without trade. If that difference is very large, then the country earns a large advantage from this international trade as a whole. But if the difference is small, there is only a small advantage from the trade. And definitely, the countries would like to trade where the differences are very large. Of course, smaller countries are more likely than large countries to find that relative prices in the world market differ significantly from what prevails in their home markets. Above all, we have seen dynamism and innovation from international trade. It promotes dynamism and innovation within the economy of the country. And here you can have a very close proof. An economy that is close to trade, that does not want to trade with others, is one in which inefficient industries and laggard firms are well protected. Studies suggest that barriers to trade are a major cause of extreme underdevelopment. And countries which are having trade barriers are virtually poor countries, lowest forms of poor countries. Countries that have reduced their trade barriers and increased the share of imports and exports in their economies, they tend to be amongst the fastest growing nations. And we have proof within our own country in India, when we have opened up our economy for imports and exports, we have reduced our trade barriers. Economically, we have been growing very fast. World Bank study also shows that developing countries that become more integrated into the world economy had higher income growth, longer life expectancy, and better schooling facilities for the children. If goods were perfectly tradable across borders with no trade barriers or transaction costs, there would be no reason for prices to differ. This has given rise to an idea of purchasing power parity, which is a theory of exchange rate adjustment based on the law of one price. Prices differ, so exchange rate will differ. Theory of purchasing power parity is that this relationship holds for an overall market basket of goods and services. There's so many tests which tend to show only a weak tendency for exchange rates to move in the direction of purchasing power parity. This means that cross-border trade is not nearly friction-free. There are frictions in most of the aspects of cross-border trade. Failure of purchasing power parity to hold indicates that transmission costs, translation costs, and other factors, they limit the integration of the global market. Of course, capital flows, excess of imports over export is called a current account deficit. Why? Because when we access more import, we have got to pay for those imports in foreign exchange. Whereas when we export, then we get foreign exchange. Now, if we get less foreign exchange and spend more foreign exchange, internationally, there is a current account deficit in that particular country. Of course, country that is accumulating foreign assets will necessarily run a trade surplus. If you accumulate more and more of foreign assets by investing or trading in foreign countries, you will always have a trade surplus in the country. On the other hand, a country that is selling its assets to foreigners will always have a trade deficit. A country will accumulate assets when its domestic saving is greater than its domestic uses of saving. And on the other hand, country will sell assets when its national saving is insufficient for its domestic uses of saving. And above all forms of economic theory has indicated that international trade actually raises the standard of living of the citizens of the country. When we look at foreign trade, it's actually a part of international trade, but it is not fully international trade. Primary objective of foreign trade is to increase standard of living of the people, and increasing demand is because of one, natural resources are unevenly distributed, presence of specialization and division of labor. One country may be specialized in a particular direction. One country may have more labor. So these presences enhance foreign trade. Different countries have difference in economic growth rate. And of course, presence of the theory of comparative cost in manufacturing and selling a particular product. It can be considered a number of different things depending on the type of trade one is talking about. Basically, it means trading in goods and services that are destined for another country other than the country of origin. It can also be investing in foreign securities, though this is less common use of the term of foreign trade. Trade is basically goods and services. The products produced in a foreign trade situation are very familiar, similar to other products being produced around the world. You'll find the goods that are available over here, they are available in any other country of the world that you want to go around. Commodities are often pooled together in one mass market and sold. That is a commodity markets at one particular point, and then this is being sold to other countries. Most common commodities that often sold in foreign trade, maximum usages from oil, both crude and vegetable oils, and grains, especially food grains, they are very common. Another form of foreign trade is merchanting trade. In the case of merchanting trade, the supplier of a particular product will be resident in one foreign country. The buyer of the product will be resident in another country, also a foreign country. And the merchant themselves will be resident in India. Of course, this can be multiplied in the other parts of the world, but I'm taking an Indian example. In merchanting trade, we will only act as a merchant. The merchant will book the orders from the buyer, place the order with the supplier, supervise and coordinate the shipment of goods from the supplier's country directly delivered the same to the buyer's country. He will be receiving payment from the overseas buyer and making payment to the overseas supplier through a bank. duly authorized dealer in foreign exchange in India. And the difference between inward remittance of foreign exchange and outward remittance of foreign exchange will be the profit for the merchant. Shipment will be made directly from one country to another country without touching India at all. In yet another form of burgeoning trade, if the merchant does not want to show how the buyer and seller are related or direct introduction, then goods are imported into India, and after changing form slightly, they are exported to other country. Here, a subjective condition is that as far as Indian trade policy is concerned, the goods are not restricted for import or export. Export for such goods are against payment in freely convertible currency, against available of freely convertible currency from both sources. Goods mentioned as restricted for import may be imported under custom bond for exports in freely convertible currency, provided that item is freely exportable without any conditionality, requirement of license or permission. There are no trade barriers. It's very simple. Goods imported into India are kept in custom bonded warehouse without payment of any duty, and then they are exported, and at the time of export, they do not get, exporter does not get any export promotion benefits. But the whole system is done under supervision of the customs supervisors. When we look at services, yes, we do not have trade only in goods. We have trade in services, which actually refers to sale and delivery of an intangible product called a service between producer and consumer. But it takes place between producer and consumer based in different countries. And that is why it is a part of international trade. And it is called international trade in services. This sector basically provides services. They do not produce any material or any commodity. Such activities include retail, real estate, banks, hotels, education, health, social work, computer services, recreation, media, electricity, communications, gas, and water supply. These are all sectors where services can be given for international trade. You will be surprised to know that this service sector constitutes a large part of Indian economy, both in terms of employment potential and its contribution to national income. Why? Because the sector covers a very wide range of activities, from the most sophisticated in the field of information and technology. Yes, you see, our information and technology, there has been a boom. Why? Because we have taken very vast strides, not only for our local usage, but we have become one of the larger exporters of these services. Service sector is the dominant sector in India's GDP as of today. And it has attracted a lot of foreign investment flows into India, into this particular service. This type of service covers a very wide range of activities: hotel, restaurants, transport, storage, communication, financing, insurance, right up to services associated with construction. We have a very wide range of services which India can offer and is offering to the world market. Thank you.